Messages from the house.
Thank you.
March 2nd, 2012, from the House of Representatives, message number 194, concurrence requested. Mr. President, Senate file number 17, Game and Fish Authority Revision. The Senate file listed above passed on third reading in amended form as follows by the vote indicated. Ayes 43, noes 16, excused 1. The House respectfully asks the Senate to concur by adopting the listed amendments. Message number 202, concurrence requested. Mr. President, Senate file 25. Public records, the Senate file listed above, passed on third reading in an amended form as follows by the vote indicated. Ayes 54, noes 5, excused 1. House respectfully asks the Senate to concur by adopting the listed amendment. Message number 203, concurrence requested. Mr. President, Senate file number 33, Department of Enterprise Technology Services. The Senate file listed above passed on third reading in an amended form as follows by the vote indicated. Ayes 32, noes 27, excused 1. House respectfully asks the Senate to concur by adopting the listed amendments. Message number 201, concurrence requested. Mr. President, Senate file 8, ethanol tax credit. The Senate file listed above passed on third reading in an amended form as follows by the vote indicated. Ayes 44, noes 15, excused 1. The House respectfully asks Senate to concur by adopting the listed amendments. Patricia Benskin, House Chief Clerk. March the 2nd, 2012. From the House of Representatives. Third reading passed. Mr. President, the bills listed below pass the House on third reading by the vote indicated. Senate File 10, Youth Challenge Program Sunset Date. Ayes 59, excused 1. Senate File 30, Highway Patrol, Game Warden, and Investigator Retirement. Ayes 50, noes 9, excused 1. Senate File Number 35, Higher Education Reserve Accounts. Ayes 59, excused 1. Senate File Number 47, Omnibus Water Bill Construction. Ayes 59, excused 1. Senate File 62, Electrical Installation Licensing Exceptions. Ayes 59, excused 1. Senate File 84, County Commission Special Expertise. Ayes 59, excused 1. And Senate File 86, Greenhouse Gas Air Quality Regulation. Ayes 58, noes 1, excused 1. Patricia Benskin, House Chief Clerk.
Enrolled acts. We are at that order of business for signing of enrolled acts. Senate Enrolled Act number 10, original Senate file number 10.
Senate Enrolled Act number 10 being original Senate file 10, an act relating to the military department.
Senate Enrolled Act number 10, original Senate file number 10. I'm about to sign. So sign. Senate Enrolled Act number 11.
Senate Enrolled Act number 11, being original Senate File 30, an act relating to the Wyoming State Highway Patrol.
I'm about to sign Senate Enrolled Act number 11, original Senate File 30. So signed. Senate Enrolled Act Number 12.
Senate Enrolled Act Number 12, being original Senate File 35, an act relating to public funds.
I'm about to sign Senate Enrolled Act Number 12, original Senate File 35. So signed. Senate Enrolled Act Number 13.
Senate Enrolled Act Number 13, being original Senate File 47, an act relating to water development projects.
I'm about to sign Senate Enrolled Act Number 13, original Senate File 47. So signed. Senate Enrolled Act Number 14.
Senate Enrolled Act Number 14, being original Senate File 62, an act relating to licensing for electrical installations.
I'm about to sign Senate Enrolled Act Number 14, original Senate File 62. So signed. Senate Enrolled Act Number 15.
Senate Enrolled Act Number 15, being original Senate File 84, an act relating to counties.
I'm about to sign Senate Enrolled Act Senate Enrolled Act Number 15, original Senate File 84. So signed. Senate Enrolled Act 16.
Senate Enrolled Act 16, being original Senate File 86, an act relating to public health and safety.
I'm about to sign Senate Enrolled Act Number 16, original Senate File 86. Have so signed. House Enrolled Act Number 8.
House Enrolled Act Number 8, being original House Bill 32, an act relating to state legislative districts.
I'm about to sign House Enrolled Act Number 8, original House Bill 32. Have so signed. Concurrences. Senator Case, are you ready with message number 178? Original Senate File 4.
Mr. President, I would move message number 178.
Okay. Senator Case,
let's have
we'll have that read in. Or...
Microphone.
March 1st, 2012, from the House of Representatives, message number 178, concurrence requested. Mr. President, Senate File 4, registered agent, commercial agent registration. The Senate file listed above passed on third reading in an amended form as follows by the vote indicated. Ayes 58, noes 1, excused 1. Patricia Benskin, House Chief Clerk.
Okay, go ahead, Senator.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would move message number 178. The concurrence request to Senate File 4, registered agents, commercial agent registration. Basically, Mr. President, what happened here is that the House returned the bill to its original form. We had quite a debate about that, but I I think upon the debate and reflection, I know that a lot of people have been contacted by the Secretary of State's office, and I would ask you to support the concurrence. I would ask you to vote aye. I will go through the bill. If you look at your blue copy, the blue copy, of course, Mr. Chair, President, is how it left the Senate. And one issue in there was we called it on the Senate floor. We brought in 1728-105, which is on page 2 of your blue copy. And we raised that the qualifications for registered agent from 10 to 25. Communication with the Secretary of State's office reveals that we really don't have a break in the 25 range. I mean, basically commercial entities have more than 10, and it's not a significant break as it was we had been led to believe. Also, Mr. Chairman, if you look at the back part on page 4, we had taken the word person and inserted the words business entity on line 1 and line 6. The Secretary of State's office and folks down in the other end of the building were persuaded that indeed the correct reference should be to person. That is the report as it comes out, Mr. President. I would ask that you support concurrence. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. President. Question, I'm not sure I understood the explanation. We purposely took the commercial up to 25 to account for a lot of the smaller law firms that may do that as a benefit to some of their clients, and I just didn't understand what the break. You said that there was a break of some sort at 10 versus 25. I'm just not sure what it is that you're saying.
Senator Bevoff.
Thank you, Mr. President. And I remember the discussion, too, and I thought that was a pretty important part, that the Senate thought that we should go from the 10 to the 25, not only for the attorneys that may do this, but certainly for other businessmen that may be involved and not want to be considered a commercial when they're just acting within their own business capabilities.
Other questions of concern? Senator Case, go ahead, I guess.
Thank you, Mr. President. For my second time, I can quote you from a letter that I received from the Secretary of State's office. It says, the original reason for 10 was to regulate commercial registered agents, but not to include mom-and-pop companies. We checked the statistics, and almost all mom-and-pop registered agents represent fewer than 11 companies. Above 11 companies, there are both good and bad actors. And I might as well, if I got a minute left, Mr. President, say, additionally, the House put back the term person back in the bill in lieu of business entity. That is much better because under the law, a person means an individual or a business entity. Any penalty provision should apply to both, so there is fairness of application. So that is the explanation. They believe downstairs in the office that deals with this, that this is an important break. It's true that the 25 came on in the Senate. We did it, though, I might point out, by reaching outside the context of the bill and bringing in another section of law, ruled to be perfectly in our purview, so we can do that. Choice is up to you. If you like the 25, vote no on concurrence. If you like the 10, vote yes for concurrence.
Thank you, Senator Case. The motion is that the Senate do concur on Senate File 4, and you've been asked to vote aye. I'd ask Chief Clerk, please call the roll.
Barnard?
Aye.
Bebout?
No.
Burns?
Aye.
Case?
Aye.
Christensen?
No.
Coe?
No.
Cooper?
No.
Dockstader?
No.
Driscoll?
Aye.
Emmerich?
Aye.
Esquibel?
Aye.
Geis?
No.
Hastert?
Aye.
Hicks?
Aye.
Hines?
Aye.
Jennings?
No.
Johnson?
Aye.
Landon?
Aye.
Martin?
Aye.
Meyer? Nicholas?
Yes.
Nutting?
Aye.
Perkins?
No.
Peterson?
No.
Ross?
No.
Rothfuss?
Aye.
Schiffer?
Aye.
Scott?
No.
Von Flatern?
Aye.
President Anderson?
Aye.
Closing vote? Closing. Vote closed. 17 ayes, 12 noes, 1 excused.
By your vote, you have concurred on Senate File 4. Senator Case, the next one is yours also. Are you ready to ready for message number 179?
I am, Mr. President.
Go ahead, Senator Case. Or we'll have it read in first.
March 1st, 2012, from the House of Representatives, message number 179, concurrence requested. Mr. President, Senate File 5, County Commissioners, removal of appointed board members. The Senate file listed above passed on third reading in an amended form as follows by the vote indicated. Ayes 55, noes 4, excused 1. House respectfully asks the Senate to concur by adopting the listed amendments. Patricia Benskin, House Chief Clerk.
Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move message number 179, a concurrence request to Senate File 5, County Commissioners, removal of appointed board members. I ask you to vote no. Mr. President, if you recall, this is the bill that allows for the dismissal of board members that have been appointed by the county. We had lots of discussion in the Senate and also in the committees about whether that dismissal should be for any cause or should be at the pleasure of the commission. The essence of what this bill is now is that it's 100% at the pleasure of the commission. No cause, no hearing, and no notice. It could just happen. If that's what you believe, then you should vote for this concurrence. When the bill was originally introduced and through the committee process, it was felt that these boards that are appointed by commissioners have their own fiduciary role in some cases. They're trustees. They're sort of a little bit of independence. Yes, they serve at the pleasure of the commissioners, but there ought to be a reason to get rid of them, just not be able to just sweep them all out or bring them all back in, that's not so healthy either. So if you recall, we had a discussion about the issue of should the cause be just cause or not, and what about the hearing? Should the hearing happen, be able to delay the things? And it ended up leaving the Senate that it wasn't just cause, it was just the word cause, for cause, at a public hearing. Okay? Now, there's no need for the hearing. There's no need for any cause whatsoever as it's been amended. I would suggest you vote no. I'd be happy to discuss it further with our colleagues. If you like kind of the ultimate power of the commissioners, then you should vote aye.
Any other discussion in regard to this concurrence? Seeing none, the motion is that the Senate do concur on Senate File 5, and you've been asked to vote no. Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Barnard?
No.
Bebelt?
No.
Burns?
No.
Case?
No.
Christensen?
Yes.
Coe?
Aye.
Cooper?
No.
Dockstader?
No.
Driscoll?
Aye.
Amrick?
No.
Esquibel?
No.
Geis?
No.
Hastert?
No.
Hicks?
No.
Hines? Jennings,
no.
Johnson,
no.
Landon,
no.
Martin,
no.
Meyer,
no.
Nicholas, excused, Nutting,
no.
Perkins,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Ross,
no.
Rothfuss,
no.
Schiffer,
no.
Scott,
aye.
Von Flatern,
no.
President Anderson,
no.
Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 6 ayes, 23 noes, 1 excused.
By your vote, you have failed to concur with on Senate File 5. I would appoint the following members to the conference committee. Case, Coe, Cooper.
CCC.
Senator Case, we have another one. Message number 180. I'd ask that be read in before we speak.
March 1st, 2012, from the House of Representatives, message number 180. Concurrence requested. Mr. President, Senate File number 6, County Memorial Hospital District, staggered terms. The Senate file listed above passed on third reading in an amended form as follows by the vote indicated. Ayes 59, excused 1. House respectfully asks Senate to concur by adopting the listed amendment. Patricia Benskin, House Chief Clerk.
Proceed, Senator Case.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move message number 180, the concurrence request to Senate File 6, County Memorial Hospital District Staggered Terms. Our colleagues did some good work on this. The only changes are to the title and the catch title. And the word hospital districts is changed to hospitals. It doesn't actually affect any of the statutory language at all. It's just clear that this applies to county hospitals, not necessarily ones in a district. Be happy to answer any questions. I ask you to vote aye.
The motion is that the Senate do concur on Senate File 6, and that you've been asked to vote aye, and I would ask Chief Clerk to call a roll.
Barnard.
Aye.
Bebout.
Aye.
Burns.
Aye.
Case.
Aye.
Christensen.
Aye.
Coe.
Aye.
Cooper.
Aye.
Dockstader.
Aye.
Driscoll.
Aye.
Amrick.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Geis.
Aye.
Hastert.
Excused, I guess.
Hicks.
There he is.
Hines. Jennings.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Landon.
Aye.
Martin.
Aye.
Meyer.
Aye.
Nicholas excused. Nutting.
Aye.
Perkins.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Ross.
Aye.
Rothfuss.
Aye.
Schiffer.
Aye.
Scott.
Aye.
Von Flatern.
Aye.
President Anderson.
Aye.
Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 29 ayes, 1 excused.
By your vote, you have concurred on Senate File 6. Senator Scott, are you ready in regard to message 185? Would clerk read that in at this time?
March 1st, 2012, from the House of Representatives, message number 185, concurrence requested, Mr. President. Senate file number 32, workers' compensation amendments. The Senate file listed above passed on third reading in an amended form as follows by the vote indicated. Ayes 59, excused 1. The House respectfully asks Senate to concur by adopting the listed amendment. Patricia Benskin, House Chief Clerk.
Go ahead, Senator Scott.
Mr. President, I move that the Senate do concur on House amendments to Senate File 132. This is reference message 185.
A correction, that is Senate File 32.
Senate File 35.
Go ahead, sir.
32. Mr. President, House did good work on this bill. First thing they did was they cleaned up our language a bit. And frankly, our language got the job done, but it was a bit awkward. House cleaned that up, and I think in the process broadened it slightly, which is a good thing. And then on the second thing they did, and you can see it at the bottom of the page in the message, the top of the next page, they've got a member over there that understands healthcare law in this area probably better than anybody on the Joint Committee, or frankly probably better than anybody that talked to the Joint Committee during the interim, and he had a more elegant solution to exactly where we were trying to go, and the House put that in, and it's a significant improvement in the bill, Mr. President, in terms of doing what we are trying to do and doing it in an effective way. I'd be happy to answer any questions, Mr. President, but I do urge the Senate to vote aye.
The motion is that the Senate do concur on Senate File 32. You've been asked to vote aye. I'd ask Chief Clerk, please call the roll.
Barnard.
Aye.
Bebout.
Aye.
Burns.
Aye.
Case.
Aye.
Christensen.
Aye.
Coe.
Aye.
Cooper.
Aye.
Dockstader.
Aye.
Driscoll.
Aye.
Amrick.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Geis. Hastert,
aye.
Hicks,
aye.
Hines,
aye.
Jennings,
aye.
Johnson,
aye.
Landon,
aye.
Martin,
aye.
Meyer,
aye.
Nicholas excused, Nutting,
aye.
Perkins,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Ross,
aye.
Rothfuss,
aye.
Schiffer.
Aye.
Scott.
Aye.
Von Flatern.
Aye.
President Anderson.
Aye.
Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 29 ayes, 1 excused.
By your vote, you have concurred on Senate File 32. Senator Schiffer, are you ready in regard to message number 201?
Yes, I am, Mr. President.
I'd ask that be read in at this time.
March 2nd, 2012, from the House of Representatives, message number 201. Concurrence requested, Mr. President. Senate File 8, Ethanol Tax Credit. The Senate file listed above passed on third reading in an amended form as follows by the vote indicated. Ayes 44, noes 15, excused 1. The House respectfully asks the Senate to concur by adopting the listed amendments. Patty Benskin, House Chief Clerk.
Go ahead, Senator Schiffer.
Mr. President, I move concurrence on message number 201 dealing with Senate File 8, Ethanol Tax Credit. Mr. President, what the House did, they reached some middle ground. We had originally passed this out that the tax credit, it's 40 cents is the tax credit now, it would end in 2013. What the House did is cut the tax credit from 40 cents down to 18 cents per gallon, and then extended the date out to 2019. Now, in fact, it runs over into 2020 because of the way corn contracts work, and I'm okay with that. Mr. President, in order to increase my reputation as the kinder and gentler senator from Johnson County, I'm going to ask the Senate to concur and vote aye on this. It is a reasonable compromise.
Anyone else? The motion is that Senate do concur on Senate File 8. You've been asked to vote aye. Chief Clerk, please call the roll.
Barnard. Bebelt. Bebelt.
Aye.
Burns.
No.
Case.
No.
Christensen. Coe.
No.
Cooper.
Aye.
Dockstader.
Aye.
Driscoll.
No.
Emmerich.
Aye.
Esquibel.
No.
Geis.
No.
Hastert.
No.
Hicks.
Aye.
Hines.
No.
Jennings.
No.
Johnson.
Aye.
Landon.
Aye.
Martin. Meyer.
Aye.
Nicholas excused. Nutting.
Aye.
Perkins.
No.
Peterson.
No.
Ross.
No.
Rothfuss.
No.
Schiffer.
Aye.
Scott.
No.
Von Flatern.
No.
President Anderson.
Aye.
Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 11 ayes, 18 noes, 1 excused.
By your vote, you have failed to concur on Senate File 8. I would appoint Schiffer, Meyer, and Jennings to the Conference Committee. Senator Schiffer, are you ready in regard to message number 203?
Yes, I am, Mr. President.
I'd ask that be read in at this time.
March the 2nd, 2012, from the House of Representatives, message number 203, concurrence requested. Mr. President, Senate File 33, Department of Enterprise Technology Services. Senate file listed above passed on third reading in an amended form as follows by the vote indicated. Ayes 32, noes 27, excused 1. House respectfully asks Senate to concur by adopting the listed amendment. Patricia Benskin, House Chief Clerk.
Senator Schiffer.
Mr. President, I move for concurrence on message 203 dealing with Senate File 33, Department of Enterprise Technology Services. Mr. President, what the House did, they added a reporting provision. It's over on page 24, line 11, requiring the department to report each year to the Appropriations Committee on the federal programs being implemented by the department. They have to include statutory authorization, and the department, but if it's totally within the department, then they don't have to. I believe that's a reasonable, that keeps the Appropriations Committee apprised of what this new department's doing, particularly in the federal area, which can cause some concern. I urge the Senate to vote aye.
Senator Von Fleteren.
Thank you, Mr. President. I just have a question for the presenter there. If I read that language, is there some other language that says they don't have to if they have authorization? The way I read this, they have to report and then say whether they have any statutory authorization or not. And I think the presenter said that they didn't have to report if they already had authorization. I'm a little unclear on that.
Okay, are there other questions for the sponsor? Seeing none, go ahead, Senator Schiffer.
Mr. President, what it involves, if they have the statutory authorization, then they don't report. But if they don't have statutory, they have to list what the statutory authorization is. If they don't have it, then they have to make sure that it's reported that way, is what I was told that the wording meant. In other words, that if they're reporting something, they have to list the reports and the authorization. If they don't have statutory authorization, they have to say so. So we're not going out into areas that we're not authorized to go into.
The motion is that the Senate do concur on Senate File 33. You've been asked to vote aye. Chief Clerk, please call a roll.
Barnard.
Aye.
Bebout.
Aye.
Burns.
Aye.
Case.
No.
Christensen.
Aye.
Coe.
Aye.
Cooper.
Aye.
Dockstader.
Aye.
Driscoll.
Aye.
Emmerich.
Aye.
Esquibel.
Aye.
Geis.
Aye.
Hastert.
Aye.
Hicks.
Aye.
Hines.
Aye.
Jennings.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Landon.
No.
Martin.
Aye.
Meyer.
Aye.
Nicholas excused. Nutting.
Aye.
Nutting.
Aye.
Perkins.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Ross. Rothfuss.
Aye.
Schiffer.
Aye.
Scott.
No.
Von Fleteren.
No.
President Anderson.
Aye.
Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 25 ayes, 4 noes, 1 excused.
By your vote, you have concurred on Senate File 33. Senator Perkins, are you ready in regard to message number 202? I'd ask that you read in, please.
March 2nd, 2012, from the House of Representatives, message number 202, concurrence requested. Mr. President, Senate File 25, Public Records. The Senate file listed above passed on third reading in an amended form as follows by the vote indicated. Ayes 54, noes 5, excused 1. The House respectfully asks the Senate to concur by adopting the listed amendment. Patricia Benskin, House Chief Clerk.
Right, Senator Perkins.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move message 202 regarding Senate File 25 and ask that the Senate do concur and ask and request that the Senate vote aye. This is the public records bill. They did a very modest amendment on page 2. If you go down there, they deleted the last three words in that at the bottom of page 2. They didn't want of the body in there, which is probably appropriate given that we're talking about state agencies and institutions. And the other thing they did is then they added back in there, in as we talk about the agricultural types of data that are going to be confidential and not generally considered to be a open for public record, that wanted to make sure, and they added this back on page 7 after line 5, the custodian shall allow the right of inspection of information and technical assistance directly related to projects funded by the state or an agency, institution, or political subdivision of the state
concerning an agricultural operation, farming, or conservation practice. So in those instances where the state's provided assistance, whether that be financial or technical, that would give the state the right to know the results and find out the information regarding the program which they had provided the assistance through. So with that, I think that's the explanation. Other than that, the bill returns relatively unscathed and would ask for your body to vote aye.
Comments, questions? Senator Burns.
Mr. President, I'm just curious, and at just at first blush here, having just read this, I was wondering if the chairman could explain to me how the new amendment, page 7 after line 5, doesn't contradict page 4, line 4, paragraph there, which actually does exempt agricultural operations. I'm kind of confused.
Okay, go ahead, Senator Burns, repeat that.
Mr. President, I'm referring to the agriculture exemption on page 6, line 4, that paragraph, allows for an agricultural exemption, and then the new amendment that the House put in on page 7 after line 5 seems to contradict that, and I'm wondering if is there something I'm missing there?
Thank you. We'll give the sponsor a moment to look at that. Is there any other questions while he's kind of examining that request? If not, just take a moment if you need, Senator Perkins.
Microphone.
You've got it. Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. President. I believe what we're doing here is line 6 provides the general exception, and then what we're doing here is create an exception to that exemption, which allows the custodian shall allow the right of inspection. So what you've got in the first one is in on page 6, in line 4, in that paragraph on page 6, we're saying that generally this is going to be exempt from being a public record. What we're doing on C is we're carving out some exceptions to that. I have, for example, in A on the bottom of page 6, the custodian may allow the right of inspection. You've got in paragraph B, the custodian shall allow the right of inspection under certain circumstances. The same with C. And so what we did in C, what we did here is, if the custodian shall allow the right of inspection if the information has been transformed into a statistical or aggregate form without naming. And what it appears that they've done is that they – I don't know what they've done, Mr. President, I guess. So look at that. I guess we have two C's. Maybe the alphabet doesn't work in the other side of the house. Maybe we have some technical assistance on its way, Mr. President, to my left.
Okay, I'm going to go to Senator Hickson, and we'll come back to Senator Burns here trying to iron this thing out.
Mr. President and members of the Senate, I do found a mistake here. In fact, that C should have been put up in Section B, and that is a rewrite of Section B. If you will go up and read Section B, it's almost verbatim. What that basically, the only provision that adds into Section B is it adds, if you provide technical assistance for funded projects by the state, that you have to also disclose that technical assistance provided, which could be engineering designs, planning, or some other components. So that amendment should have actually been to subsection B, not C.
Okay.
Well, Mr. President?
I'm not sure if this conversation is referenced to. Evidently not. I'm going to go to Senator Ross, and we'll go to then back to Senator. Okay, go ahead, Senator Ross.
That's intended. It's a C to be inserted, then the C becomes D. It is slightly different from B. I don't think there's any error in how they drafted it. I don't necessarily like it or dislike it, but I think it's fine.
Senator Burns, are you satisfied before Senator Perkins stands up?
I was going to point out the same thing.
Okay, all right. All right, now we're ready to go. Senator Perkins, get us back on track here.
Well, I think it's resolved itself. So I think if I understand what we're saying is that ultimately this is basically a typographical thing that can be corrected by staff back as they do the bill. If I understand that, so with that, I think that concludes the explanation, and we're still at the place we want the recommendation still to vote aye.
Thank you. Senate File 25, the motion is Senate File do concur on Senate File 25. You've been asked to vote aye, and I'd ask Chief Clerk please call the roll.
Barnard?
No.
Bebout?
No.
Burns?
No.
Case?
No.
Christensen? Coe? Cooper? Dockstader? Driscoll? Emmerich? Esquibel? Geis? Hastert? Hicks? Hines? Jennings? Johnson? Landon? Martin? Meyer? Nicholas? Nutting, Perkins, Peterson, Ross, Rothfuss, Schiffer, Scott, Von Platern, President Anderson.
No.
Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 6 ayes, 24 noes.
Okay. By your vote, you have failed to concur on Senate File 25, and I would appoint Perkins, Hicks, Rothfuss, Senator Rothfuss, to the Joint Conference Committee. That covers concurrences. I think now we're ready for some reports from the standing committees, and then we'll...
March 2nd, 2012, Mr. President, your committee number 8, Transportation, Highway, Military Affairs, to whom was referred House Bill 46, in gross, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Cooper, Johnson, Landon, Nutting, and Schiffer, Senator First Schiffer, Chairman. March 2nd, 2012, Mr. President, your committee number 9, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development, to whom was referred House Bill 89, in gross, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Bebout, Cole, Cooper, Jennings, and Rothfuss, Senator Bebout, Chairman. March 2nd, 2012, Mr. President, your committee number 9, Mineral Business and Economic Development, to whom was referred House Joint Resolution 1, engrossed, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Bebout, Cole, Cooper, and Jennings, no, Senator Rothfuss, Senator Jennings, Acting Chairman. March 2nd, 2012, Mr. President, your committee number 12, Rules and Procedures, to whom was referred House Bill 31, engrossed, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Anderson, Hastert, Martin, Nicholas, and Ross, Senator Ross, Acting Chairman. March 2nd, 2012, Mr. President, your committee number 1, Judiciary, to whom was referred House Bill 62, engrossed, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Burns, Christensen, Esquibel, and Hicks. No, Senator Perkins, Senator Perkins, Chairman. March 2nd, 2012, Mr. President, your committee number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, to whom was referred House Joint Resolution 7, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Dockstader, Nutting, and Scott. No, Senators Martin and Schiffer, Senator Scott, Chairman. March 2nd, 2012, Mr. President, your committee number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, to whom was referred House Bill 82, engrossed, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Dockstader, Nutting, and Scott. No, Senator Martin and Schiffer. Senator Scott, Chairman. March the 2nd, 2012, Mr. President, your committee number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, to whom was referred House Bill 113, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Dockstader, Martin, Nutting, Schiffer, and Scott. Senator Scott, Chairman. March the 2nd, 2012, Mr. President, your committee number 1, Judiciary, to whom was referred House Joint Resolution 3, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Burns, Christensen, Hicks, and Perkins. No, Senator Escobel, Senator Perkins, Chairman. March the 2nd, 2012, Mr. President, your committee number 2, Appropriations, to whom was referred House Bill 51, engrossed, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Hastert, Meyer, Nicholas, Peterson, Von Fladeren, Senator Nicholas, Chairman. March the 2nd, 2012, Mr. President, your committee number 4, Education, to whom was referred House Bill 108, engrossed, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Barnard, Cole, Jennings, Landon, and Rothfuss. Senator Cole, Chairman. Jesse.
Senator Bebout.
What do you mean?
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, House Bill 89 has an appropriation. ISS be re-referred to committee number 2, Appropriation.
Make the correction to whatever. And then
the request is that House Bill 89 be re-referred from Committee 9, Minerals, over to committee number 2, Appropriations. Are there any objections? Seeing none, that is so ordered. Senator Nicholas.
President, I think Senate Appropriations will meet right now to take that bill, act on it, and bring it right back to you, if that works in your schedule.
Having said that, those members of Senate Appropriations are excused at this time.
Then we have the other bill. I think it's House Bill 110. 107? Just 7? Okay, seven. We'll be considering that, too.
Has that one been re-referred? Okay, it's all in order. With that, are there any other...
We'll be meeting in Appropriations, in Hank's office, near the smoking lounge.
Okay, Mr. Majority Floor Leader, I think that we are ready for those bills on general file.
Mr. President, I move that the Senate resolve itself back into Committee of the Whole.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, no. That motion has carried, and I believe that is Senator Emmerich, second go-round.
Committee of the Whole will please come to order. The first bill for our consideration is House Bill 65. The reading clerk will read the House bill.
House Bill number 65, sponsored by Representative Stubson, Banks, Authorized Investments, an act relating to bank and banking.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What's your pleasure?
Wait a minute. I've got to read this. That's a...
Sorry.
It was referred to Committee Number 7, Corporation Election Political Subdivision, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Case, Hines, Johnson, Martin, and Scott. Senator Case, Chairman.
Heard the reading of the bill. Senator Case.
I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, to do so with a due pass recommendation on House Bill 65, Banks Authorize Investments. For an explanation of the bill, I would yield to the co-sponsor, the good senator from Park County.
What this bill does is it comes in and cleans up the investment statutes to allow state banks
to invest in mutual funds holding securities and agencies that they could purchase individually, as allowed by the commissioner's rules. This change will allow state banks to invest in the same mutual funds holding U.S. government securities and agencies that national banks can currently hold as investments and are allowable by the Comptroller of the Currency and other state banking departments. This change could conceivably increase the liquidity, diversification, and flexibility of state banks' investment portfolios. This change is needed because not all federal agency instrumentalities have unconditional guarantee spelled out in writing. But there is an assumption that the U.S. government will stand behind those entities which they created, own, and manage. This change still requires state banks to ensure that the underlying securities of the mutual fund are allowable by the banking commissioner's rules and regulations. That also still requires the state banks to do their own due diligence regarding with regard to liquidity and the safety of the instruments they purchase. If you go to the bill, you'll see at the bottom of page 1, going over into the top of page 2, which are unconditionally guaranteed by the U.S. government. Now, understand, when you look at government securities, there's only two securities that are out there that are fully and unconditionally guaranteed by the federal government. That's U.S. Treasury bonds and Ginnie Mae's. Okay, and so what we're talking about is allowing things like federal home loan mortgage corporations, farm credit bank obligations, student loan marketing obligations, federal home loan bank, Tennessee Valley Authority, a general obligation of state or political subdivisions. That's what the bill does. It just gives state banks the same flexibility to invest in mutual funds that national banks have. I ask that you support the bill.
Question has been called for. All those in favor of Senator Case's motion that when the committee of the whole rises to report that it do so with a favorable recommendation of House Bill 65, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? House Bill 65 has passed. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 76. The reader will please read it in.
House Bill number 76, sponsored by Representative Petrov, Resort Liquor Licenses, an act relating to liquor licenses. It was referred to Committee number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources. Reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Burns, Christensen, Dockstader, Driscoll, and Escobel. Senator Burns, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure? Senator Burns.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with a favorable recommendation on House Bill 76, Resort Liquor Licenses. There are no standing committee amendments, and for a further explanation of the bill, I ask that you call on the good senator from Omos, Idaho.
Senator Christensen.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. House Bill 76 is a little bill that helps create some flexibility for our ski resorts, our larger ski resorts. If you'll look at the bill itself, over on page 2, it broadens the definition with adding an or on line 4, motel or accommodations, minimum of 100 sleeping rooms, and then or. And then starting on line 6, a ski resort facility open to the general public in which the applicant shall have committed or expended on the facility not less than $10 million. This bill is really to address some of the changes in the industry. The industry is struggling at times, depending on the resort, for a number of different reasons. It may be a business change. It may be family matters. One of the resorts in our community is going through a separation with the hotel from the ski resort itself, with the mountain likely to be operated by a nonprofit. So it just provides some flexibility in a difficult environment. Right now, it's the larger ski areas that are using this license because of the attached sleeping units. requirement on it. This flexibility is important. These areas are, like I said, they're struggling. But it's important to know the original bill, there has been some changes. The original bill said recreation facility instead of ski resort. The Liquor Association was concerned that that language was too broad and could include all kinds of unintended facilities. They're the ones that suggested ski resort. This isn't necessarily out of character with Title 12, is that in Title 12, we have some other call-outs on there, such as the University of Wyoming, golf courses, clubs, guest ranches, etc., that fall under this. And so the fact that we're talking ski resort doesn't really make them special. There are already some recognized exceptions that are specific. The $10 million threshold, that was a question, and part of this, remember when we go back to the original language of the amended language of the bill, a ski resort facility open to the general public. When we talk about a $10 million threshold, we had testimony in our meeting that replacing one chairlift out at Teton Village, the Casper chairlift, is $5.5 million. And so a $10 million commitment into a public ski resort that's open is not an extraordinarily high number when they're looking at $5.5 million just for one of their chairlifts. There was questions about lowering that so that other smaller and community resorts could work and fall under this. However, as the Liquor Commission explained to us, a general retail license fits those folks much better. They also are allowed with that general license to sell packaged liquor. One of the reasons why the big resort likes this one is the resort license allows them to have multiple distribution points scattered around a large geographic area, as opposed to with a retail, it's limited to a small location for a small resort. And also, they're not in the business of worrying about packaged liquor. They're more geared toward the residents who might be staying at associated properties. So there was some other question about, on that recreational language. And again, it goes back to, it's a little too broad. They were afraid people might come in that would want to apply this to, say, swimming pools, playgrounds, rec centers, event centers. And those establishments, if the desire is there, they, again, have an opportunity to go after a full retail license. When I looked at the county listing, nearly all of our counties have full retail licenses available. If not a full retail, there's other forms of licenses available. I might note that there was one county that somehow has more liquor licenses than they're supposed to have. And that's that county from the senator who drinks, we've heard, Colorado water down by Carbon County country. Somehow they have more licenses than they're supposed to. But everybody else has licenses of one form or another available. So, again, going back to that question of lowering that $10 million threshold so other people could apply for it doesn't seem to be the need. There was also some concern from the industry that if you lowered that threshold, you might have somebody that, grabbed their four-wheeler and hooked a rope on behind it and said, I have a ski resort. And all of a sudden started stretching the boundaries of this. So with that, the ski area language and the $10 million limit were a compromise between interested parties, and that's how we arrived at that, and I'd answer any questions.
Question has been called for. Thought you were going out for a snack, Senator.
Well,
Senator Roth,
Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I do have a question, and then I'll go get a snack. Mr. Chairman, I'm curious, I appreciate the explanation for the $10 million and the specific ski resort facility. I am concerned to some degree about the $10 million fee, but the concept here in which the applicant shall have committed or expended on the facility is also kind of awkward phrasing. You know, do you want a facility that has a net valuation of $10 million or more? I don't know what it means to have expended $10 million. If this is an old facility that's been around for a while, then, you know, that doesn't have much meaning anymore. So it seems to me that's ambiguous, and I was wondering if any other words were considered or if there was a particular intention for that phrase.
Senator Burns.
Mr. Chairman, I thought it went the other way, that the original language was committed or expended, and that was replaced by the word invested. But maybe my memory's faulty, and the original bill said invested, and then they moved it the other way. But I know the other word that the good senator was asking about was invested.
Senator Christensen.
Mr. Chairman, we didn't get into that exact language in the issue, but the idea was it didn't have to necessarily be $10 million spent at the time. It could involve a property that had already been purchased and so forth. But then, it got back to it needed to be a substantial investment to avoid those small mom-and-pop inner tube slash four-wheeler resort type of circumstances. I'm not sure if this is a change, while it may be a bit awkward, if it's something we need to focus on, or certainly open to that if you think that's necessary. If there's no other questions, I'd ask for the support on this one.
Senator Perkins.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, just a couple questions. And one observation is that, I mean, the point's very good. Typically, you look at this and you would anticipate it would go off of historical cost, what they put into it. Now, what you spent to put in chairs 30 years ago and versus a resort who would put in a similar chairlift, obviously more modern, but a similar chairlift now, I mean, an investment 10 years ago for $3 million might be $10 million if it was invested today. So it creates a very interesting dichotomy in the bill. Versus new resorts versus old resorts. I guess the other question I would have for the sponsor is, I was just anticipating it from his testimony that this may very well be municipalities or other nonprofit or even governmental organizations owning these types of resorts and or these ski resorts, and so now these would have resort liquor licenses, and I just wondering if that would be something that they could report on the new website regarding governmental competition. And then the other one would be also the other thing is if we're going to serve liquor license at the ski resort, how do we get, do we have tipsy taxi to get them down the hill once they've imbibed?
Senator Burns.
Mr. Chairman, I raised that question about the small ski areas versus large ski areas, and one of the sheets that was given to me show that most of the smaller ski areas in the state already have liquor licenses, and the advantage of the resort liquor license with the larger resort areas that are, you know, quite honestly up in the northwest part of the state, is the hotels and so forth are right at the bottom of the hill. So opera skiing is where they do the drinking and so forth, and then we'll go back to their room from there. They generally do not get back in their car and go driving off after getting a snootful.
Senator Bebout.
Thank you. Just a quick question for the sponsor. What about the other liquor dealers in Jackson? You know, they have there's a finite number of licenses, and now you're going to add another resort license. Did you get any input from them?
Senator Christensen.
Mr. Chairman, that was, a question in committee, and when we looked at that, it really does just apply right now to one major resort over on our side, and it's not necessarily creating competition, but more importantly, as I said earlier, there are licenses available. Most of the communities have full retail licenses. Most of the counties have a number of full retail licenses available out there, and this is just another format with to use that with the benefit going. They're not competing with the retail licenses, and it's the packaged liquor difference, but it allows the large resorts to have distribution points around the mountain based on different operate view events or restaurants, so forth, that might be up on the mountain or at the base.
Senator Martin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. If you go back to the present statute on resort and restaurant liquor license, it has, in subsection B, it says to qualify for a resort retail liquor license, the appropriate licensing authority shall require the resort complex to, in paragraph Romanet 1, have an actual valuation of, or the applicant shall have committed or expended on the complex not less than $1 million, excluding the value of the land. And then in paragraph Romanet 2, include a restaurant and a convention facility, which convention facility shall seat no less than 100 persons. And then it looks like that they amended paragraph Romanet 3, and where it now states include either in subparagraph A, motel or hotel accommodation with a minimum of 100 sleeping rooms. Before that was in the paragraph 3, and then added the portion about the $10 million of a ski resort facility open to the general public in which the applicant shall have committed or expended on the facility not less than $10 million. It looks to me like that you have in the paragraph Romanet 1, you're saying that it has an actual valuation of $1 million, and then you're coming down and saying specifically a ski resort would be $10 million, but they're not talking about valuation. They're talking about what has been expended on the facility. To me, it's a little bit confusing.
Senator Christensen.
Mr. Chairman, if I had my choice, I'd stick with the senator from Natrona County's questions. However, going to that question, this is a significant change. As I said in the beginning, the existing license is tied to 100 rooms, a restaurant, a meeting room that holds 100 people or more, and 1 million expended or committed. And so this change does... we talked about that separation and how resorts, in order to remain competitive, are looking at all different configurations. And we have one in our community that is looking at splitting the mountain from the hotels. We have another one in our community that has a number of commercial properties, but no beds associated with it. They do own 100 rooms. But those rooms are condos that are purchased in different properties around in the residences. And so, again, that goes back to the $10 million. While we're changing the terms and creating some flexibility, we're also upping the price of commitment to make sure this isn't just to get around to create a whole lot of new licenses.
Question has been called for. All those in favor of Senator Burns' motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, that it do so with a favorable recommendation of House Bill 76, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed?
No.
The bill has passed. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 87. The clerk will read it in, please.
House Bill number 87, Mixed Martial Arts, sponsored by Senator Pedersen, an act relating to mixed martial arts. It was referred to It was referred to committee number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, Cultural Resources, reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Burns, Christensen, Doc Satter, Escobel, excuse, Senator Driscoll, Senator Burns, Chairman. It was re-referred to Committee Number 2, Appropriations. Reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Hastert, Meyer, Nicholas, Peterson, Von Fledren, Senator Nicholas, Chairman.
Senator Burns.
Mr. Chairman, I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with a favorable recommendation on House Bill 87, Mixed Martial Arts. There are no standing committee amendments. However, there is a Committee of the Whole amendment, and I would ask that the reading clerk read that in.
House Bill 87, Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 1 to engross copy, page 5, line 4.
Mr. Chairman, I will be calling on somebody else to explain the bill, but I would like to dispense with the Committee of the Whole amendment. This was an amendment that staff asked me to bring to the committee meeting, and I forgot to, so I'm bringing it as a Committee of the Whole amendment. This bill initially called for a commissioner and then switched to board and to for the rest of the bill to be consistent. Other parts of the bill have to change from the word commissioner to the word board. So with that, I would move the Committee of the Whole amendment and ask the body to vote aye.
Question's been called for. All those in favor of Senator Burns' motion to adopt the Committee of the Whole report amendment number 1 to House Bill 87, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Back on the bill, Senator Burns.
Thank you for your indulgence, Mr. Chairman. For a further explanation of the bill, I ask that you call on the bearded senator from Natrona County.
Senator Jennings.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. That's semi-bearded. Mixed martial arts has become quite a popular sport, and Wyoming seems to be losing out on it. We have lots of our young people and some of our not-so-young people driving to Colorado and going to these big matches down there, spending lots of money, and then coming home and talk to each other how great it was down there in that big city watching these mixed martial arts fights. And it is a fight. By no means think it's not a fight. When they swing and kick at each other, it's supposed to hurt. But one of the things that the associations have looked at is regulating it and making sure that you don't do things that you're not supposed to really inflict permanent damage to each other. And there's a peer-reviewed study that I have that you're more than welcome to look at. I didn't pass it around because there's a couple of them and it would be worth 3 or 4 trees. But this was a study that was completed in Nevada right after they sanctioned their commission there. And there's a big, long formula of what they used. And since I'm not allowed to do math in public, I won't read it to you. But basically what they did was they had 635 professional mixed martial arts matches. 300 of the 1,270 athletes sustained documented injuries with an injury rate of 23.6 per 100 fight participants. The most common reported injuries were lacerations and upper extremity injuries. Several severe concussion rate was 5.4 per 1,000 athletic exposures, or 3% of all the matches. No death or critical sports-related injuries resulted from any of the regulated matches during the study period. Age, weight, and fight experience did not statistically increase the likelihood of injuries after controlling for other cohorts. So these guys got together. I'm sure somebody paid them lots of money to go study that. But as it came up, it's not any worse than any other contact sport that's out there. If we go to the bill, I'll run you through it very quickly. On the first page, you see the section that deals with definitions. Then that goes through page 4, which is the empowerment of the commission. Page 6 sets up the payment and travel reimbursements, which is for the commission, which is the same as what we get. Page 6 is the reporting requirements. And in that reporting requirements, there's also a condition in there that if they don't stay solvent, that they report back to the TRW committee and to us, and they automatically disband and the section error is repealed. Page 7 gives the commission the power over all the mixed martial arts fights. Page 8, application for the license and license setup fee bonding requirements to ensure compliance with the fee collection. Page 9, reporting requirements for promoters and payment of fees to the commissioner or the board. Page 10 directs the fees collected to the treasurer's office to be credited to the MMA account, and they do have the ability to increase the fees because that's what keeps them solvent. Page 11, all fights currently going on in this state can be exempted from fees by listing themselves as amateur fights. And we do have a few of these going around. I know in my hometown over at the fairgrounds, they meet on a fairly regular basis and go over there and push each other around. And it packs them in. I mean, but it's on an amateur level. So this will not come in and take them out of that amateur level. Page 11 is the ability to appoint inspectors so the commissioner of the board does not need to attend every fight. And since there's only three of them, that'd be kind of tough if they had to. Page 12 are the rules for conduct of matches, and they must use the unify rules for the mixed martial arts. Page 13 is kind of important because you have to have a doctor examine the fighters so that they're safe. And I'm sure it's more than just a sports physical like we do with our high school kids. Page 13 also has the requirement to make sure the referees are trained properly. Page 14 is the penalty section for contestants violating the rules. And they are heavily regulated, and they do have a lot of rules. And you have a handout on your desk that will go through some of those rules. Page 15, failure for promoters to make reports. There are definitely penalties there. Page 16 establishes the weight in the classes. And it also has a penalty section for violation of any part of the chapter. And section 2 on page 17 is the $10,000 appropriation that gets them started. But after that, they're on their own. And if they become insolvent, they have to flange it up and not go anymore. If you take a look at there's a lot of useful information in this handout that's on your desk. But I'd like to take you straight to page 7. And this is a list of a whole bunch of things that are the fouls. So this is what's going to keep these contestants and these athletes from really, you enforce all these, then they'll get hurt, just like you would in football and maybe even some basketball or high school wrestling and stuff. They will have some injuries, but then they get down to butting with the head, eye gouging, biting, spitting at the opponent. You know, they go down all this stuff that makes a real good street fight, but doesn't make a good mixed martial arts fight. So they really do go out of their way to try to keep this thing very regulated, keep it solvent, but have it where our folks in Wyoming can go enjoy these. And a lot of our people do. The really big thing about this, if we decide to develop this commission or board, then one of the great big promoters in the country has already made a commitment to do an event in Wyoming, which means if we just take the people in Wyoming that are driving down south to go to these things, and we can start to get them to go to these events and these matches in Wyoming, then we're going to keep those Wyoming dollars in Wyoming instead of sending them south. I think that's as quick as I could present this. If you have any questions, I'd be glad to try to answer them. If not, vote yes.
Senator Hicks.
Mr. Chairman, just a quick question. Who appoints the commission?
Senator Nutty.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd ask while questions are being answered, the fiscal note calls for $10,000 in 2012 and $10,000 in 2013. Is that an error that there's $10,000 in 2013?
Senator Cooper.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yeah, along with kind of the question that was asked by the good senator from Laramie County, was is there some sort of additional funding mechanism to this board, or is this just sustained by these appropriations on a biannual basis?
Senator Jennings.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Before you get too far out in front of me, I believe the governor appoints the board. I believe it's $10,000 for that biennium. And the startup is just startup. And as you look in the 33.8.104, that's where it says that if they don't stay solvent, that it's automatic repeal. We don't even have to come back in and do it. It's if they turn their reports in and they're not solvent, then it automatically takes them off the books and dissolves them.
Senator Rothfuss.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, and to my good colleague from Natrona County, yeah, I've been wondering with each of these commissions as we start them up, why we front them money and then don't ask for payback. Obviously, they might not be able to afford right up front $10,000, but it's not just true of this. It's not unique legislation. We've seen other bills along these lines. Why is there no obligation for them to repay the $10,000, and why is it in the state's interest to appropriate the money directly to them without that repayment?
Senator Jennings.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is a little different than a lot of our boards, because a lot of our boards we fund all the time, and we also have some that are self-funded. But in this case, if the body decides to move this forward, I don't think there's anything wrong with putting an amendment on this thing to have them pay that back. I think that would be a good idea. But this is the way the bill came to us from the prime sponsor. The House didn't think, the chamber down the hall didn't think of that. But I don't think that that would be an unfriendly amendment. But it's not uncommon for us to fund other boards. These guys are only asking for a one-time funding to get everything up and rolling.
Senator Burns.
Mr. Chairman, going a little further in answer to the good senator from Laramie's question, what the state basically does with a lot of these commissions is it regulates and oversees an activity that's going on anyway. That's why we have a board of barbers and a board of midwifery and a board of embalmers and so forth. This activity is already going on in this state. It's going on an amateur basis. What this bill would do with the commission is it would allow professionals to come in here. Any one of these professional organizations already can come into the state of Wyoming. We've got no controlling mechanism over that. The reason that this bill is coming, and the reason that the sponsor brought it, and the sponsor, by the way, is an MMA fighter down at the other end of the building, so I wouldn't disagree with him too violently, is that the largest of these organizations, as they put it, say they run toward regulation. They will not go into a state that is not regulated. They want the regulation, and they want a controlling legal authority on that. If you look at the handout that the good senator from Natrona County gave you on the second page, you will see how many states already have a commission or a commissioner, and we're kind of, including Canada, and we're kind of the cheese standing alone here, until you go to the north of us, up just north of my place. I think this is something that we really want to call for, and the fact that this is self-ending if it doesn't continue to fund itself is actually exceptional to most of the other commissions we have. As a matter of fact, two of the commissions that we're dealing with right now needed additional money put in because their own enterprise fund couldn't support them.
Question has been called for. All those in favor of Senator Burns' motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, that it do so with a favorable recommendation of House Bill 87, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. House Bill 87 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 92. The reader will please read that in.
House Bill number 92, sponsored by Representative Kraft, 9/11 services eligible entities, an act relating to emergency telephone services. It was referred to Committee Number 7, Corporation Election Political Subdivision, which reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Case, Hines, Johnson, Martin, and Scott. Senator Case, Chairman.
Senator Case.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. I move that when a Committee of the Whole rises to report, to do so with a do pass recommendation on House Bill 92, 911 services eligible entities. For an explanation of the bill, I yield to the bill's co-sponsor, or one of the co-sponsors, Senator Martin.
Senator Martin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, the passage of House Bill 92 will make it clear that a joint powers board can be considered a governing body and a public agency for purposes of the 911 services enabling statutes and enacted in Wyoming Statute 169102. This change is needed because joint powers boards are uniquely designed to handle the job of providing 911 emergency services. The purposes for a joint powers board are set forth in Wyoming Statute 161104, subsection C, paragraph Romanet 1, and include providing police and fire services. 9/11 dispatch clearly fits within this concept. While a special district is defined in Wyoming Statute 169102, emergency telephone services is defined as a governing body and public agency, a special district is not the best vehicle for providing 9/11 services, since it, in most cases, the area served by a 9/11 dispatch center is an entire county. A joint powers board is the best entity for providing 9/11 service or 911 services to an entire county. A review of the Joint Powers Board statutes makes it clear that Joint Powers Boards may be created to assist with emergency services that are consistent with providing 9/11 services, so adding Joint Powers Boards to the definitions will make explicit and clear what already seems to be the case and the intent when reading these two statutes together. I'd be glad to answer any questions, Mr. Chairman.
Question has been called for. All those in favor of Senator Case's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, that it do so with a favorable recommendation of House Bill 92, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. House Bill 92 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is House Joint Resolution 12.
House Joint Resolution 12, United States Government Deficit, sponsored by Representative Petroff, a joint resolution requesting Congress to pass a comprehensive deficit and debt reduction plan and urging support from the President of the United States. It was referred to Committee Number 3, Revenue, reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Case, Emmerich, and Hines. No, Senator Perkins. Excuse, Senator Barnard. Senator Hines, Chairman.
Senator Hines, what is your pleasure?
Mr. Chairman, I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it does so with a do-pass recommendation on House Joint Resolution Number 12. For explanation of the bill, I'll yield to Senator Cole.
Senator Coe.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm not one for joint resolutions, but this one I happen to feel strongly about. This deals with a resolution requesting Congress to pass a comprehensive deficit debt reduction plan and urge the President to do the same.
quickly to walk you through the bill. If you get onto page 2, you can see, for instance, for each dollar spent in Washington, we have to borrow 36 cents. Spending outpaced revenue by $1.3 trillion. If you go on page 2 to line 15, it says could lead to an inability to respond to emergencies such as wars, natural disasters, or financial recessions, and might cause the state of Wyoming to buy an aircraft carrier. If you move over on to page 3, it talks about the bipartisan National Commission on Fiscal Responsibility chaired by our own Alan Simpson and Erskine Bowles, and they wrote a plan titled The Moment of Truth, which offers a framework for comprehensive deficit reduction. If you go on over to Section 1, it talks where the legislature of the state urges the U.S. Congress to pass a comprehensive and aggressive budget resolution and to actually go in and adopt the Moment of the Truth plan as created by Simpson and Bowles. The most recent deficit that the U.S. Treasury had was on February 17, 2012, $15,413,030,984,842.14. So if you equate that out to the U.S. population of 313,042,000, that calculation equals $49,236.21 debt per citizen. Members of the Senate, like I said, I'm not one for joint resolutions, but I think that this is a good time to send this resolution back there. Most joint resolutions sometimes just go in the trash can. This one, I think, if you heard the governor's state of the state, he talked about first Wyoming being the number one best-run state in the country. He talked about Wyoming being number one in fiscal responsibility. So I think it's an appropriate time to send this resolution. I'm not going to waste a lot more time on that. I'd urge that you support it. I think it's worthwhile. I think this country is in crisis. And if we don't do something to solve it soon, I don't know what's going to happen. I try to answer questions on the joint resolution.
Question has been called for. All those in favor of Senator Hines' motion that when the committee of the whole rise to report that it do so with a favorable recommendation of House Joint Resolution 12, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The resolution has passed. Our next bill for consideration is House Bill 17. Will the reader please read it, please, for us?
House Bill number 17, sponsored by Representative Gingery, Budget Hearings, an Act Relating to Local Governments. It was referred to Committee number 7, Corporation Election Political Subdivision, reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Case, Hines, Johnson, Martin, Scott, Senator Case, Chairman.
Senator Case.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with a due pass recommendation on House Bill 17, Budget Hearings. This fairly good House bill came to our committee as an orphan, but one of the committee members took it under his wing, and I yield to the tall senator from Natrona County.
Senator Scott.
Mr. Chairman, this good little House bill will remove an irritant in our relations with the political subdivisions of this state and solve a problem that they're having. The statutes as they now exist give the political subdivisions either a narrow band for holding their budget hearings, or in the case of school districts, tell them exactly which day they're going to do it on. And it constrains the political subdivisions. They would like to have a little more flexibility. What the bill does is remove the first date of the band and leave the second date so that it gives a deadline when they have to get it done by, and that's reasonable. But, for instance, in the schools, where it's where they're limited to just a single day, the testimony in committee was that's often a problem for them, especially where they've got a BOCES board that has a hearing on the same day, and it's a real problem for some of the members of the school boards. And frankly, Mr. Chairman, they are irritated about it. When my wife was on the school board, I heard about this one regularly. And the only real question I had in committee was, why didn't we do it 30 years ago? And I think just nobody had undertaken it as a project. It's something that needs to be done, and I would urge the Senate to adopt the bill. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Question has been called. All those in favor of Senator Case's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rise to report to do so with a favorable recommendation of House Bill 17, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? The bill has passed. Our next bill for consideration is House Bill 21. Mr. Reeder.
House Bill number 21, sponsored by Representative McComey, exceeding speed limit while passing, an act relating to motor vehicles. It was referred to Committee number 8, Transportation, Highways, Military Affairs, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Cooper, Johnson, Landon, Nutting, and Schiffer. Senator Schiffer, Chairman.
Senator Schiffer.
Mr. Chairman, I move in the Committee of the Whole rise to report to do so with a favorable recommendation on House Bill 21, exceeding speed limit while passing. And, Mr. Chairman, there is a standing committee amendment. I'd ask it to be read in.
House Bill 21, standing committee amendment number 1, page 1, line 4.
Mr. Chairman, I'm looking for one of the sponsors of this bill that's going to carry it. Because, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to yield the floor to my colleague from Park County to speed us right through this bill.
No, he didn't.
Well, Mr. Chairman, rising in support of the bill, it authorizes drivers to exceed the posted speed limits in order to pass a vehicle traveling under the posted speed limit by 10 miles per hour. If you go to page 2 of the bill, it's only on two-lane highways. It's only on highways where the posted speed limit is 50 miles per hour or greater. And that driver of that particular vehicle can only exceed the speed limit by 10 miles per hour, which on our two-lane roads would be 75, as long as he returns as quickly as possible back to his lane of traffic, which is the right lane, and goes back to the speed limit. You cannot, this doesn't work in construction zones. It's only when you overtake a vehicle.
Senator Coe, have you moved the amendment, or are you going to relate the amendment to the bill?
Yeah, with that, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to move the amendment, Standing Committee Amendment Number 1, to House Bill 21, and have it read in.
Thank you. It's been read in.
So, Mr. Chairman, just to talk about the bill, we all drive on two-lane highways. Up in our part of the state, it's almost all two-lane highways. And what this is all about is that I actually had a personal experience. I don't know why that would surprise anybody here, but... I actually took it to circuit court. I'm not going to go through the whole explanation, but the bottom line is I went in, I did some case law study through an attorney friend of mine. I'm not a real attorney like a number of people here are, and found some New Jersey case law, and I made quite a case. I actually put the patrolman on the stand. I had a witness with me who's the representative from Park County that was traveling with me, and I was calling witnesses, and I was, I felt like I was Perry Mason up there. But I made quite a case, and I submitted it to this circuit court judge up in Park County, and he said, well, I'll get back to you. He said, you make good case here. He says, I'll get back to you in about a month or 6 weeks when I get time to write up the opinion. And I got that about 6 weeks later, and it said, speed limit 65 in Wyoming. Send in your $75. So that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. But actually, folks, if you think about it, the safest thing you can do when you're overtaking a vehicle is to do it as quickly as you possibly can and get back on your side of the road, the right side where you belong. It's the safest thing to do. We actually, with the standing committee amendment, I'll explain that at this point in time. There is a standing committee amendment that they adopted that requires a report back from, I think, YDOT back to the Joint Transportation Committee in a year to see how this thing's working. And I'd urge you support the bill. I think it's a good bill. I think it's it makes for safer driving. I did happen to ask the officer when I was, doing my Perry Mason stuff. I said, if I were to pass a car going 60 and I can only go 65, how long does it take to pass? He said about a half a mile. So with that, I'd urge you to support the bill.
Question has been called on the amendment. All those in favor of Senator Coe's motion to Standing Committee Amendment Number 1, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? No. That amendment has been adopted. Back on the bill. Question has been called for. All those in favor of Senator Schiffer's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rise to report that it do so with a favorable recommendation of House Bill 21, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed?
No.
That bill has passed. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Chairman, I move that the Committee of the Whole rise and report.
You've heard the motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
Reading clerk will read the committee of the whole report.
Mr. President, your committee of the whole, having had under consideration bills on general file, begs leave to report as follows. House Bill 11, do pass. House Bill 26, do pass amended. House Bill 27, do pass amended. House Bill 34, do pass amended. House Bill 35, do pass. House Bill 65, do pass. House Bill 76, do pass. House Bill 87, do pass amended. House Bill 92, do pass. House Joint Resolution 12, do pass. House Bill 17, do pass. And House Bill 21, do pass amended. Senator Emmerich, Chairman.
Senator Emmerich.
Mr. President, I move for the adoption of the Committee of the Whole report.
You've heard the motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. We have adopted the Committee of the Whole report. We do have, I think, some messages from the House.
March the 2nd, 2012, from the House of Representatives, message 204, concurrence requested. Mr. President, Senate File 40, Judicial Salaries. The Senate file listed above passed on third reading in an amended form as follows by the vote indicated. Ayes 45, noes 13, excused 1, conflict 1. The House respectfully asks the Senate to concur by adopting the listed amendment. Patricia Benskin, House Chief Clerk.
We do have some more concurrences, I believe. Senator Nicholas, are you ready in regard to message number 204?
Mr. President, I move.
I'd ask that that be read in this time.
March 2nd, 2012, from the House of Representatives, message number 204, concurrence requested.
Mr. President,
Senate File 40, Judicial Salaries. The Senate file listed above passed on third reading in an amended form as follows by the vote indicated. Ayes 45, noes 13, excused 1, conflict 1. House respectfully asked Senate to concur by adopting the listed amendment. Patricia Benskin, House Chief Clerk.
Senator Nicholas, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move concurrence requested, message number 204 to Senate File 40, Judicial Salaries, and ask you to vote aye. Folks, what this is the when we started out with the circuit court salary, we had proposed a salary of $110,000, which I had explained before. I thought that was commensurate with attorney generals threes and uncomparables in the executive branch. And I'll be honest with you, I thought, frankly, that was a salary that was going to be supported on the House. The House members had, prior to the drafting of the bill, were pretty strong on that, particularly those that were serving in jobs with the district attorneys. The House then moved it up to 128,700. That amendment failed on this side. It's a proportionate amount. I think it's a great salary for circuit court judges, but vote your will.
Comments? Questions? Motion is that the Senate do concur on Senate File 40. You've been asked to vote aye, and I'd ask Chief Clerk to call the roll.
Barnard?
Aye.
Bebelt?
No.
Burns?
Aye.
Case?
Nope.
Christensen?
Aye.
Coe?
Aye.
Cooper?
Aye.
Dockstader?
Aye.
Driscoll?
Excused.
Emmerich?
No.
Esquivel?
No.
Geis?
No.
Hastert?
No.
Hicks?
No.
Hines?
No.
Jennings?
No.
Johnson?
Aye.
Landon?
No.
Martin?
Aye.
Meyer?
Aye.
Nicholas?
Aye.
Nutting?
No.
Perkins?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Ross?
Aye.
Rothfuss?
No.
Schiffer?
Aye.
Scott?
No.
Bonflatern?
Aye.
President Anderson?
Aye.
Cooper, aye to no. Closing vote? Closing vote closed. 15 ayes, 14 noes, 1 excused.
By your vote, you have concurred. I'm sorry. I got it here. By your vote, you have failed to concur on Senate File 40. Mm-hmm. I have a conference committee here. Yeah, that's quite all right. We just need to take a look here. Conference Committee, Senate File 40, Nicholas Perkins and Bebout. Now, Senator Rothfuss.
Mr. President, we have a group up here in the balcony from the Multicultural Student Leadership Initiative at the University of Wyoming. And I'd like the Senate to welcome them here and give them a nice round of applause. Thank you.
We have some reports from standing committees.
March the 2nd, 2012, Mr. President, your committee number 2, Appropriation, to whom was referred House Bill 7, engrossed, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Hastert, Meyer, Nicholas, Peterson, Von Flatern, Senator Nicholas, Chairman. March the 2nd, 2012, Mr. President, your committee number 2, Appropriations, to whom was referred House Bill 89, engrossed, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Hastert, Meyer, Nicholas, Peterson, Von Fladeren, Senator Nicholas, Chairman.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader, I believe that clears the desk.
Mr. President, I move that the Senate stand adjourned until 10 a.m. Monday, March 5th.
Announcements? Senator Geis?
Mr. President, your Committee Number 5, Agriculture, Public Land, Water Resources, will meet at 12:30 Monday for interim topics.
Senator Scott?
Mr. President, your Committee Number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, will meet Monday at 8 a.m. in the normal committee room to interview the governor's appointment, director of workforce services, following which we will have a regular committee meeting to among the Senate members to discuss possible interim topics. And on Tuesday, on adjournment of both houses, we will meet with our counterparts in the House in room 302 to discuss interim topics.
Senator Coe?
Mr. President, just draw attention to a special thing we're having Monday on adjournment up in 302, particularly for the members of Education Committee. And I'll be circulating this on the floor Monday, but this is a presentation by Silverback Learning Solutions, and it says we empower educators to improve K-12 education with better access to data, shared accountability, and a culture of collaboration for teachers, administrators, students, and parents. It's a system that they're implementing in Idaho, and I think it's very worthwhile. I'd invite all the members of the Senate to attend if you'd like to. That's on adjournment 302 Monday.
Senator Perkins?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. President, your Committee Number 1 Judiciary will meet on Monday, March the 5th at 9 a.m., not 8 a.m., but 9 a.m. in S1 to discuss interim topics, and then the joint Judiciary Committee will meet on Wednesday at 8:30 in room H11 to discuss interim topics as well.
Senator Bebout.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, your Committee Number 9, Minerals, will meet Monday at noon in 302 to conduct hearing on the governor's appointment of some individuals to the Infrastructure Authority, the Resources Council, EQC, Environmental Quality Council, and the EOR. Also, Mr. President, later on that day in room S18, we'll be talking to the Department of Audit, new director, and the Office of Geological Survey, and some people on the Business Council. Mr. President, on Tuesday morning, March 6th at 8 a.m. in room H18, we'll be meeting with the House to talk about our interim topics.
Senator Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. President. The Conference Committee for House Bill 121, AML funding, will meet 15 minutes or so after adjournment, and the Conference Committee on the Budget will meet immediately following the completion of that work. Mr. President, I think what we'll do before we move in there is we've got some spreadsheets. Both committees will meet. What we could do is meet in Senator Coe's office, and then we'll go from there to the conference.
Senator Schiffer.
Mr. President, your Transportation Committee will meet on Monday, March 5th, upon adjournment at S14 to take up interim topics. And then your Transportation Committee is going to meet with a like committee from the House on Tuesday, 15 minutes after adjournment, over in House Meeting Room number 17.
Senator Burns?
Mr. President, your Committee Number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, will meet at 8:30 Monday morning in the House TRW room to discuss interim topics.
Any other announcements? You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. The Senate, that motion has passed. The Senate shall stand adjourned until 10 o'clock, 10 a.m. Monday, March 5th. Adjourned.